So do you know who this is? Well, it's the Eau Claire, Wisconsin band, Bon Iver, nominated for some Grammy Awards this year. Are you a fan of Bon Iver, that is? What other bands or artists do you enjoy? Who do you think deserves a Grammy Award on Sunday? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, February the 10th. We will hear some more of the Grammy-nominated music this hour, and we'll get some predictions and critiques from our guest music reviewer from NPR. And we hope that you will call in with your questions and your nominations for your favorite musicians at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are happy to welcome back Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music and contributor to NPR's Song of the Day series. He's the founder of the AV Club, the entertainment section of the Onion newspaper. He's also a native of Iola, Wisconsin, and a graduate of UW-Madison. And he joins us from NPR Studios in Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Hello, Joy.
It's
good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So let's talk, first of all, about Bon Iver. Apparently, there's a little tension between him, that band, and the Grammy Awards.
Well, I think it's really interesting. I mean, there have been a few situations where he was asked to perform, but under circumstances, you know, sort of on stage with collaborators that he didn't necessarily want to do. And so now he's not going to be performing on the telecast. Also, you know, he had given some interviews in the past sort of saying the Grammys, you know, pfft, who cares, you know. And then, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, as you're coming up, I think a lot of independent musicians are very well conditioned to sort of, you know, turn up their noses or kind of roll their eyes at these kind of industry awards and honors. But then, you know, everything breaks right. All of a sudden you're very successful. They want to give you some of those awards and you're sort of left, you know, you're sort of left not entirely sure how to handle it.
So will there be payback and he won't get any Grammys?
You know, it's funny because I've heard people speculate that might be the case. You know, he's up for Best New Artist. I mean, Bon Iver is up for Best New Artist against a real sort of you know, oddball gaggle of people in many different genres. You know, it's certainly a possibility that you know, people who give out the awards will be like, well, he doesn't want a Grammy. But there's certainly a long history of rebellion in rock and roll and certainly artists sort of sneering at the Grammys. Like Metallica, for example, you know, used to sneer at the Grammys and then went on to win about 300 million of them.
Yeah. So now this Bon Iver is really hot stuff this year. They're going to be on SNL this Saturday night. What's your critique of Justin Vernon and Bon Iver?
Well, it's literally one of my favorite bands in the world. And you know, it's funny, at the Grammys after, you know, I don't know, 2008, 2009, whatever year it was, I remember sort of live blogging the Grammys for NPR and having this discussion of, well, you know, this album's really good. You know, I don't pretend that they're ever going to acknowledge, you know, my favorite album of the year, which is Bon Iver, you know? And so it's kind of funny how that happens. I have been just beating the drum for this band since the moment I heard them. And, you know, at the end of 2007, beginning of 2008, whenever it was, I mean, as soon as I heard it, I just fell in love with it. They put out a record called For Emma Forever Ago, as I'm sure a lot of people in Wisconsin know. And it was just, you know, arguably my favorite album of that entire decade. And so this record that's being acknowledged now, which is just called Bon Iver, is this incredibly, you know, lush and beautiful thing. And you know, as they've become more you know, popular worldwide, you know, more people, you know, kind of come forward and say they, you know, sort of detractors, you know, will come forward. But to me, it's one of the very best records of last year.
And I misspoke. I said hosting. I meant the musical guest on
right,
Saturday
the musical
night.
Guest.
Yeah. So will Bon Iver win Best New Artist?
You know, it's interesting. That category is really unusually interesting this year. I mean, if you look at it, it's a country group called The Band Perry, which certainly could win Country Does Well. Bon Iver, a rapper named J. Cole, Nicki Minaj, and the artist Skrillex, who does a lot of sort of dubstep and dance music. And I really don't know. I mean, I would guess that it's between Bon Iver and Nicki Minaj, but with Best New Artist, man, you just never know. You know, that's such an unusual category. I mean, I remember when it was this gigantic upset when this somewhat little known upstart named Adele won Best New Artist a few years ago. So it's a real crapshoot.
Well, speaking of Adele, let's take a listen to this one.
Never.
So I understand that Adele is up for 6 nominations. Is she going to clean up?
I think so. Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm surprised she's not up for more. To be honest, you know, and she's up for Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year. And I just think 2011 was sort of unmistakably the year of Adele. You know, I think she sold. I could be wrong here, but I believe her record 21 sold something like twice as many copies as the next best-selling album of the year. And while obviously the Grammys don't exclusively acknowledge sales, because then they'd be very predictable. I think that the music industry has to look at her as something of a savior. You know, as record sales are down, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, record sales ticked up slightly in 2011, and you could base that growth entirely on the sales of the Adele record.
Isn't that something? My goodness.
She sold something like 6 million records, which is the equivalent of selling like 20 million records back when people bought records. So she's one of those people I feel like, obviously she has detractors, but I feel like she's kind of one of those artists everyone can agree on. You know, somebody, you know, whether you're 7 years old or 70 years old or anywhere in between, you know, her fans really cut across many, 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 many different genres and demographic groups. And, you know, if there's one thing the Grammys love, it's a good crossover.
Yeah. She's going to be performing for the first time since having major throat surgery. What's the story?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. You know, she's this wonderful performer. You know, we actually had her perform at the right before her record came out last year. We had her perform at the NPR music offices. She came and performed at our desks for what we call tiny desk concerts, and we were all just. You know, we were just completely blown away by the performance and kind of realized that we had captured, you know, something special. And we couldn't wait to go and capture a live concert. And then she's had to cancel, you know, round after round of concerts because of the strain on her voice. So, you know, this is certainly, I think that's, to be honest, in the long run, assuming that her voice fully recovers, which God, I sure hope it does. This is a really, an opportunity for her. You know, she's managed to generate a certain amount of mystique by not being able to perform live sort of constantly the way a lot of artists do. So she hasn't been as ubiquitous on the live stage as a lot of artists like her. So I think there's a certain level of anticipation, one, because I think she's going to clean up at the awards, but two, because we haven't had a chance to see her live in a while.
Now, that throat surgery that she had, is that similar to, I remember back in my day, Stevie Nicks, I thought, had to have throat, it was something with nodules on the vocal cords.
Yeah, it's very common. I mean, when you think about it, if you spend a day in a situation, mm-hmm. say a social setting, where you have to talk for 10, 12 straight hours, you know, your voice, it really wears on you. And, you know, for a singer who's performing, you know, they're warm-ups and rehearsals and sound checks, and then you're on stage where you're completely giving it your all for an hour and a half. It's an enormous, enormous strain on the voice night after night after night. I mean, I think about how easily I get a sore throat and I can completely imagine. And so it's, you know, a lot of vocalists, you know, are very, you know, self-taught, self-trained. They haven't gone through the sort of vocal lessons that will allow you to, you know, to sing in such a way that it doesn't do that kind of damage to your voice. And so you have a lot of musicians who, even after they become famous, will then go and take vocal lessons so they can figure out how to save their voice.
We're going to find that desk concert, the Tiny Desk Concert by NPR, featuring Adele, and put it on our Facebook page, if that's all right, Stephen.
Oh, please do. It really is. If you see one, we've done more than 200 of these concerts, and this one, this is a great entry point into that series. She's incredible. And you know, if people wonder, oh, is she doing it with tricks? Is she doing it with auto-tune? I can tell you, because I sat about 6 feet away, that she is, that voice is 100% hers.
All right. Well, look for that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and also post there if you want to your favorite music of the year or your picks for the Grammy Awards. The Grammy Awards are Sunday night, and we are talking with Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music and contributor to NPR Song of the Day series, about the Grammy Awards, who's up for what awards, and his predictions for the winners. And we're welcoming your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Who's your favorite artist or band of today? Not an oldie, of today. And who do you think should get a Grammy Award from you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Areas of light snow in our weather forecast for this morning, mainly in eastern Wisconsin. Otherwise, a partly to mostly cloudy day today. It's going to be windy and cold, too, with temperatures falling into the teens. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So, how do you like that? That's Kanye West. The 54th annual Grammy Awards are Sunday night, with Kanye West leading the way with 6 nominations. We are discussing the major categories on music's big night and taking your calls on your favorite artists and songs of today at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you plan on watching the Grammys this weekend? Which artists and songs from today are your favorites? Any particular song or group that you're pulling for? Maybe Wisconsin's Bon Iver? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Stephen Thompson is our guest. Stephen is a Wisconsin native. He's founder of the AV Club, the entertainment section of the Onion newspaper, a graduate of UW-Madison, and currently works as an editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He's talking with us about the Grammy Awards. So what's the story with Kanye West? Stephen.
Well, that song that you played, you know, sort of to introduce this segment, is All of the Lights from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is nominated interestingly for Song of the Year, but not Record of the Year, which is sort of it's two separate categories with a certain amount of hair splitting that goes on. Song of the Year is sort of for lyrics and melody, and Record of the Year involves like production and all, you know, and sort of everything that makes a song what it is. And I found it sort of odd that actually that song is only nominated in the song category, and particularly that Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which was this gigantic record at the end of 2010 by Kanye West, was not nominated for Album of the Year, even though it falls into the eligibility period. I was a little baffled by that. But Kanye West is certainly a Grammy staple, and I'm sure will create, you know, that much more spectacle.
So he's leading the way with 6 nominations, but Adele.
But not for album. Yeah, but not for Album of the Year. And yeah, I believe Adele is nominated for 6 as well.
Oh, okay, so they're tied.
But Kanye West is, you know, he's nominated for a lot of you know, in the hip hop categories, also Song of the Year, and sort of scattered around. I believe also even packaging for an album he put out with Jay-Z.
Well, let's take some calls. Michael in Hartford is with us. Hello, Michael.
Hi. How you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Good. I just wanted to make like 1 or 2 points. Just the one point would be like bands great, like Bon Iver. I'm actually from Chippewa Falls, knew some of the people that were in his old band, Megaphone, that, you know, they're separate now, but they have an album that was great too, and just kind of under the radar. And I think that happens, and that's why I listen to a lot of independent music, and a lot of people that listen to that kind of music appreciate that the Grammys, there's a lot of commercialism, and if you're not commercially successful, although, you know, Bon Iver has been in the past, maybe wasn't, that they just don't get the natural attention that some of these bigger bands that are with bigger labels tend to get, you know, the example being a few of them like Real Estate or Fleet Foxes, both great albums last year, but probably don't even get much attention because they're, and then there's bands like Foster People that have really, you know, over the last year or so really gotten popular. And again, kind of fit in that category a little bit of being maybe a little more on the indie side, but ultimately, you know, you get a few hits on the top 40 and then suddenly, you know, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, although there's a lot of bands like that out there. And I think that's why some people are a little jaded about the Grammys, is generally it doesn't seem to really represent what people think are necessarily the best out there, just what's, you know, on the top 40 radio stations played the most or what's noted on the top 40 radio stations. So I'll take my my answer off the air. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Michael, for the call. Before we talk about that, Stephen, let's take a listen. Bill Martin's found a Foster the People, a clip.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a catchy one. It was one of the big hits of last summer. We actually have a Tiny Desk concert by Foster the People as well.
All right, we might have to find that one too. But anyway, he's saying that our caller was saying that he thinks that Foster the People and these other indie groups should get more attention at the Grammys. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's a really interesting situation. I mean, I've been watching the Grammys since I was a kid, and have always sort of watched them with a certain amount of eye rolling, you know, because I like the caller, you know, listen to a ton of sort of independent music, and it's an interesting phenomenon as you sort of follow the trajectory of a lot of these artists like Bon Iver, and I too love Real Estate, you know, which is one of the bands he mentioned. But, you know, there's this weird phenomenon where you watch the Grammys and you're like, oh, man, they don't acknowledge, you know, any of the stuff I like. And then they acknowledge stuff you like and you're like, woohoo! You know, so there's this, you know, you kind of, it's really easy to reject, you know, to sort of reject the Grammys. And I certainly have done my share of rejecting the Grammys over the years. But at the same time, when they do get it right, you know, when they do manage to help prop up the careers of artists I like, you know, then I'm absolutely thrilled. You know, my default setting with a lot of the musicians I love, you know, especially the ones who are not as well known, my default setting is I want those people to be able to eat. You know, I want them to be able to pay rent, and you know, anything that is sort of advancing, you know, that is advancing the careers of musicians whose music really, really connects with me, I am completely all for. Now, I'm very ambivalent about the Grammys and always have been. But for example, you know, with a Bon Iver or with an Arcade Fire won Album of the Year last year, you know, even though that's sort of, you know, considered, you know, it's an independent artist. You know, I just think anything that helps bands I like, whether they do it consistently or not, you know, is ultimately can be a good thing.
We have another selection I'd like to play and a caller who would like to talk about Mumford and Sons. that sounded that he wanted somebody to choke, but that's okay. Let's take Eric in Elkhorn. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Very good. You like Mumford and Sons?
Oh, I love them. It's a breath of fresh air in today's mainstream music. It really is.
And why? Why do you like them so much?
It just seems that they obviously put more time and effort into their lyrics, and it seems to give you a little bit of a work when it comes to deciphering what they're talking about, because you know, I think nowadays it's just so cut and dry, but it really is what I consider what it should be. And it's you know, just really deep emotional stuff, and it's they're a great band. They really are.
And do you agree, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm really heartened by the success of Mumford & Sons, because I think they're, you know, first of all, I think that record they put out, Sigh No More, is a very nice record, you know, just beautiful. I mean, they're an English band, but it's kind of sort of Americana roots music. And what for me is especially exciting about them is that they're kind of bringing up behind them, you know, other bands you know, whose music I've loved for a long time. Like, for example, last year, Mumford & Sons played the Grammys with the Avett Brothers. And if you're a Mumford & Sons fan and you haven't heard the Avett Brothers, I just could not strongly enough recommend that you check it out, because it's that same sort of that mixture of kind of heart, but with a certain amount of energy and speed and you know, just a beautiful, beautiful band. And the Avett Brothers lyrics just completely knock me out. Another band, if you like Mumford & Sons, if you like the Avett Brothers, please check out a band from I believe Minneapolis, called Trampled by Turtles, which kind of again mixes that kind of, you know, prettiness with a certain amount of like kind of that the speed of bluegrass and a lot of energy. Wonderful band.
There are, I understand, fewer awards this time around at the Grammys. What's the thinking there, and what kind of impact will it have?
Yeah, that's been a big, big controversy actually surrounding the awards this year, is that they've scaled back the number of categories. There were, as of last year, there were 109 different categories in the Grammys. And so everybody thinks about Album of the Year and Song of the Year and Record of the Year and Best New Artist. But you would also have, you know, sort of Best Zydeco / Cajun, Best Hawaiian, Best Native American, Best Classical Crossover, Best Latin Jazz. And you know, in these categories, you know, they're considered, oh, well, you know, it's these minor categories, we'll just get rid of them. But if you're a musician who's recording in those categories, winning a Grammy is a gigantic deal that's going to help you, again, like I was saying earlier, put food on your table. And so a lot of the artists who perform in these categories are understandably extremely upset, you know, that you know, they want, the Grammys wanted to sort of streamline. They took it from 109 to 78. They also consolidated a lot of categories together. So you have a category like American roots music, I think it is, that has polka and zydeco and, you know, a lot of like all these different categories sort of squashed into one. And you know, as somebody who, you know, like I said, I like it when musicians are able to survive financially.
Yeah.
You know, I find it disappointing.
We will talk more about the Grammy Awards, and we'll talk about Katy Perry when we return. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. All the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will blow. Baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go, as you shoot across. That's Firework by Katy Perry, nominated for Record of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance. We are talking about the nominees for the 54th Annual Grammy Awards, which are Sunday night, and we are getting some predictions and some critiques from our guest, Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music, and we're welcoming your questions and your nominations, too. Who do you think should get a Grammy this weekend? 1-800-642-1234. Any particular song or group that you're pulling for? You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we did post the NPR Tiny Desk concert featuring Adele on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So if you want to take a listen to that, you can. Adele also up for a lot of Grammy Awards this weekend, and our guest thinks that she's probably going to sweep up a lot of them. And we, again, welcome your questions and comments. Stephen Thompson is editor and reviewer for NPR Music, contributor to NPR Song of the Day series, founder of the AV Club, the entertainment section of the Onion newspaper, a native of Iola, Wisconsin, and a graduate of UW-Madison, who is joining us this morning from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. So, Katy Perry's Firework. What do you think of that one, Stephen?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Katy Perry is just an absolute pop star. And though, you know, she put out a record, she put it out like in the summer of 2010, you know, that has just churned out, you know, hit after hit after hit after hit. And I think, you know, the sort of pop craftsmanship of her stuff is undeniable. You know, at the same time, I don't know that it, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider it awards caliber, but I think what's a little frustrating, she kind of tips off part of what frustrates me about the Grammys, which is there's a tendency for the Grammys to reward a lot of records that came out a long time ago. Mm. And I don't know that the Grammys have fully adjusted to the kind of, you know, the very, very quick news cycles that we're in now. You know, there's so much. I mean, obviously, everybody talks about, you know, Twitter and blah, 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 that these days a news cycle, you know, is like a day. And so, you know, a record that came out a year and a half ago can just seem unbelievably ancient in this, right. You know, yeah. sort of in this climate. And the way the Grammys work, first of all, their eligibility window runs from, I believe it's November 1st to October 31st. So a bunch of these records, like, I mean, an album of the year nominee like Rihanna's Loud, she's already put out another record since then, mm-hmm. called Talk That Talk, which I actually love. And, mm-hmm. But Loud is two albums ago, and it's nominated for Album of the Year in 2012. So they've got a little bit of a problem where they're giving awards to records that came out quite a while ago. In the case of the Katy Perry record, Teenage Dream, that Firework came from, came out in June of 2010. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about Mumford & Sons, and I like Mumford & Sons, but that Mumford & Sons record came out 2 years ago, and, I mean, 3 years ago overseas. You know, but, you know, the way with some of these records, it's like if a single from an old record came out during the eligibility period, it's still eligible. So you have a song from Mumford & Sons and a song from Katy Perry, which are nominated for, you know, Song of the Year, even though the album came out ages ago and had, you know, in some cases, they've already won Grammys.
Well, so you would, that's one way you would change or improve the Grammys is to have that window shorter?
Yeah, I would do. I mean, I don't see why they don't do it based on the calendar year. You know, in this day and age, I mean, I'm sure it's a matter of how long it takes to collect votes, but we're, you know, I think most Grammy voters, even Grammy voters, have access to the internet. So, you know, I sort of think that they would do well to sort of do it the way, for example, the Oscars do, you know, their eligibility window, which is a clear-cut calendar year. And I think you set up a policy where an album can only, you know, you can only win a Grammy or be nominated for a Grammy in one given year. You know, you shouldn't have the same album being nominated sort of song by song piecemeal over the course of as many as 3 or even 4 years. I think the Metallica put out a record, you know, that Black album that Metallica put out, there were songs from that record winning Grammys, like, I swear, 4 years after that record came
really?
Out.
Yeah. And I have to admit, I asked my producer when I saw a caller called in about a particular song, I thought, when did that come out? Because even I've heard it, so I think it must be. and the song is this one. Well, I have one producer dancing in the producer's booth to that song and the other one rolling his eyes. But like I said, I've actually heard of this song. So I wonder, do you know when that came out? Party Rock Anthem?
Party Rock Anthem. You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I can't remember whether that falls into the eligibility period or not. I think one thing you're dealing with there is it sounds so much like the Black Eyed Peas
it's kind of
hard to even tell, you know, that sometimes, you know, it's hard to tell one song from another, one band from another with some of this.
Yeah, Seth in Janesville, I didn't mean to take your steal your thunder, Seth, but I had to play that clip. That's the song you think ought to be, that you thought that should have been nominated?
Oh, yeah, I was totally dancing to it, too. And, you know, really, it's a song that has swept not just America, it swept the world. Everybody is listening to it. You get on YouTube, and so many people have organized actual flash mobs to it. It is, I mean, an extremely prolific song. Love it or hate it, you've heard it at some point.
And that could be why I've heard it, because I have heard it a lot.
The artist is LMFAO?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're not my favorite artist by far. Some of their lyrics are pretty filthy, but this particular song, you know, they clean it up for most of it, and it's just a great song.
Thank you very much, Seth. That was not nominated, as far as you know, Stephen.
I'm pretty sure something by LMFAO is nominated. I confess I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, it's funny, like the first probably 2 months that song was out, I thought it was the Black Eyed Peas.
Isn't that something?
But it's, you know, but it's songs like that, you know, that really managed to sort of pervade the public consciousness. It's interesting sort of how a lot of these awards shows, you know, deal with stuff like that, because a song like that is not necessarily, oh, this is a tremendous piece of art. you know, it's just a fun, I mean, it's called Party Rock Anthem for a reason. But you know, at the same time, I think there are songs in that genre of kind of, you know, very, very production driven, like super kind of songs. Some of those I think are absolutely fantastic pieces of art, and I will go to my grave singing the praises of Rihanna's song We Found Love, which unfortunately came out right after the eligibility period and will get nominated for Grammys in 2013 when we're all well and truly sick of it.
It looks like the Party Rock Anthem came out in January of 2011, so
then it's totally eligible.
Yeah, there it goes. Here's another call from Jake in Reedsburg. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Joy. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
I want to talk about the Civil Wars real quick. They're this folk duo, Joy Williams and John Paul White, who had the album Barton Hollow out this last year. And the album's absolutely fantastic. I think they're nominated for a couple Grammys this year. That's one
nominated for folk album, for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's just a great album. It's one of those things where right when I started listening to it, I'm like, this is like nothing I've ever really heard before. And it's kind of a unique blend of kind of a country, folk. It's just the two people. And, you know, I've watched videos of them live, and they make a lot of music for just two people on stage. So I definitely recommend people check them out.
I will. Thank you, Jake. Do you think, Stephen, the Civil Wars will pick up any awards?
Yeah, I think they've got to be a leading contender in the folk, you know, in the folk category that they're nominated for. That's a lovely it's a man and a woman. They harmonize beautifully together. Not to keep flogging the Tiny Desk concerts, but we do have a Civil Wars Tiny Desk concert for people who want, you know, for people who want to check them out. That's another band with a little bit, I mean, it's a different type of music, but I'm kind of reminded of Mumford and Sons just from the standpoint of the people who are discovering them really, really fall in love with them and connect with them, and you know, they have tremendous chemistry live. It's a very, that Civil Wars record, Barton Hollow, it's a very, very sweet record, and I would certainly encourage people to at least sample it.
We're talking with Stephen Thompson. He is editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He's also a contributor to NPR's Song of the Day series. We are talking with him about the Grammy Awards this Sunday night, talking about what bands, what artists, what songs, what records are likely to win awards. And we're wondering what songs and artists you're pulling for. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, areas of light snow this morning, mainly in eastern Wisconsin. Otherwise, a partly to mostly cloudy day today, windy and cold, temperatures falling into the teens. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So can you name that artist? Lady Gaga, nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. We are talking about the nominees for the Grammy Awards taking place on Sunday, and we're welcoming your questions, we're welcoming your favorites, we're welcoming your nominees. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It is 11 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Friday, February the 10th. Coming up after 8, we hope you will stay with us for the Week in Review. We'll have all the top state and national political stories of the week in our Week in Review after 8. We're talking about good music and other music that's nominated for Grammy Awards with Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music. So Lady Gaga is up for another one. What do you think, Stephen? Oops, I'm sorry, I have the wrong button on. Now I have you on.
Yeah, it's interesting. She's nominated for Album of the Year, but not Record of the Year for Born This Way. And I was actually, to be honest, a little stunned that she would be sort of celebrated for the full album, but to have that song, which was just this undeniable, gigantically influential major smash hit, not nominated for Song of the Year or Record of the Year. Maybe they couldn't figure out how to credit it in relation to Madonna and Express Yourself. But you know, Lady Gaga, you know, God bless her. She's everywhere. I think that's a really fun record. I think Born This Way is a, you know, terrifically fun song, even though obviously over time, you know, again, you know, like I was saying, the Grammys are covering these songs that have been out for a while, and they sort of find themselves giving awards to songs that everyone is well and truly sick of.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I don't think I'm sick of this one yet. I thought, let me take a, here's the clip I want to play. That is Body and Soul by Tony Bennett and the late Amy Winehouse, nominated for Best Pop Duo Group Performance. And that didn't that come out after her death, Stephen?
It did. It came out. It was sort of her first posthumous recording, and it's a very sweet. You know, it's a from Duets 2 by Tony Bennett. And it's this very this nice, you know, kind of classic collection of standards, you know, in which Tony Bennett, obviously, since it's called Duets 2, it's him duetting with sort of an assortment of artists. And yeah, that Body and Soul from Amy Winehouse is nice. Actually, to clean up what we were saying earlier about the Civil Wars, I checked. They're actually not only are they nominated for Best Folk Album, but they're nominated for Best Country Performance by a duo group. So they're nominated both as a folk artist and as a country artist, which goes to show how hard it is to categorize a lot of artists nowadays.
And speaking of country, we have Jeff and Phillips, who has a country favorite. Hi, Jeff.
Thank you, Joy. I listen to you every day on the way to work and the way home from work, so I'm going to try to make this quick. I just turned on my radio, and the first thing that popped to my mind was this one song. It's really cool. But anyway, my wife and I, Tracy, she's a big Lady Gaga fan. I agree. We're pulling for her, too. But there's a guy, Trace Adkins. Big, stout country guy with a deep voice. There's this really cool song called We're Just Fishing. And he's talking about his time spent with his little daughter. Now he knows the time is going to go fast, and he better value every minute of it. And there's this big guy, and it's his own. He did a video of it, too, and I think he has three daughters himself. He's just this real down-to-earth guy with the deep voice, and the song is about, you know, family values and stuff. It's just a really cool song. I think it's one of the best songs ever.
Let's take a listen to that one.
And she thinks we're just fishing on the riverside, throwing back what we could fry, drowning worms and killing time, nothing too ambitious. She ain't even thinking about what's really going.
Yeah, it's called Just Fishin', and I think the message there is that while dad and daughter were fishing, they weren't just fishing.
Right.
That they were, spending time together, and she was learning about life, and they were, you know, loving being together, that kind of thing. I don't even know if that's up for any awards.
Yeah, I don't believe it is, but at the same time, I mean, Trace Adkins, you know, for country fans, really specializes in songs about these very universal songs about what it's about, the love that parents feel for their kids, and I've always really admired that, and I like a lot. He has a number of songs like that, and I as a parent myself, I like them all.
Yeah, I have a nephew who has an adult daughter, and just recently had some pictures of he and his daughter when they were, you know, when she was littler, fishing. And he, you know, with the comment, he posted it on Facebook saying, "And you thought we were just fishing," you know. So that's the kind of feeling that has. Thank you very much, Jeff. I'm glad you listen every morning. Well, we wonder what you are listening to music wise these days, and what songs do you hope, or what artist do you hope will pick up a Grammy this weekend? The 54th Annual Grammy Awards are Sunday night, and we are previewing the Grammys with Stephen Thompson, who is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music and contributor to NPR's Song of the Day series. And we have a little bit of time for you and an open line for you if you want to get in here, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I am told by my crack producer, director Bill Martins, that Trace Adkins' Just Fishing is up for Best Country Song. So,
oh, shows what I know.
Sorry, you can't have them all memorized, Stephen. We know.
Oh, there it is. I'm looking at the list right now, and I managed to miss it. But I really do like Trace Adkins. Yeah, he's up against Taylor Swift, among others. So it'll be interesting to see how he does.
So, what do you think the most intriguing storyline is heading into this year's Grammys?
Well, you know, I certainly think, I mean, intriguing or otherwise. I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting to see, first of all, sort of the extent to which Adele kind of dominates. I think anything that Adele doesn't win is going to be considered an upset. And there very often are these sort of shockers. I mean, just last year, I don't think anybody thought Arcade Fire was going to win Album of the Year. I will, you know, as a very, very diehard Bon Iver fan and as a Wisconsin native, you know, I'm certainly going to be, you know, enormously curious to see how they do. You know, I have a tendency, you know, like I said, as much as I sometimes roll my eyes at kind of award ceremonies and everything, when something I really connect to personally ends up winning an award, it's like it validates the listener a little bit. And so I get a little giddy thrill when something I love is celebrated by a lot of people.
And let's take a couple more calls. Taylor in Southeast Minnesota. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for the show. I was just wondering, your screener said that Jason Aldean is nominated for either a Grammy or a couple of Grammys. And if so, I was wondering what songs, because a lot of the songs on his latest album were written by a Wisconsin native by the name of Josh Thompson, who himself is a very, very good singer. And he's also an excellent songwriter, and I believe with his new album coming up, he may be eligible and nominated for a few Grammys himself next year.
And what do you know about this, Stephen?
Nice. Well, the song Dirt Road Anthem is nominated for Best Country Solo Performance, and Jason Aldean's album My Kind of Party is nominated for Best Country Album. So that album award, he's certainly the songwriter will be included in that.
All right. Thank you very much, Taylor, for the call. Well, we have a lot of calls who came in at the last moment and probably not time to take them. any surprises, you think, Stephen? This, I know it's hard to predict a surprise, but...
It sure is. I mean, I guess the category that I'm really going to be looking at is going to be that best new artist. You know, which very often, because it's sort of pooling together a bunch of different genres and people sort of at differing stages of the beginning of their career, that's one that, you know, because you basically have at least four different genres of music represented, it's going to be very interesting to see what wins out. And my fingers are crossed for Bon Iver. I can't help myself.
So are you though looking forward to the Beach Boys getting back together at the Grammys?
Boy, you know, I just hope that goes well.
You think it might not?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that the Beach Boys are necessarily at the top of their game, but I really, you know, I have a gigantic soft spot in my heart for the Beach Boys. I just, you know, I hope it goes well.
Yeah. Well, I wish you well. And are you going to be blogging at the Grammys on Sunday night?
You know, I have in years past. I was just talking to Linda Holmes, who I do a lot of live blogs with, this morning, and was sort of saying, you know, are we going to do this? I don't actually know yet. I'll certainly be tweeting them.
All right. Well, we'll look for those. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He is also a founder of the AV Club. He's a graduate of UW-Madison, a native of Iola, Wisconsin, talking with us about the 54th Annual Grammy Awards, which are a Sunday night. And we'll let another Adele song, Rolling in the Deep, take us out. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.